Well, thanks to Rachel for playing today and the choir for leading us in worship today. Let me invite you to turn to that passage we read a few moments ago, Isaiah chapter 62, and we'll be focusing in particularly on verses 6 and 7 of that great passage of Scripture, and we trust that God would take his word and use it. So with God's word in front of us, let's bow together in a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you that we've had the opportunity to express our love and our adoration to you. We thank you for the beautiful words that we've been singing. We thank you for the opportunity to have read the Scriptures together. But we would pray that as we come now to consider that word, that, Lord, that you would come, that you would quieten our hearts before you. The Lord, that you would enable the preacher today, that you would bring power to that word. And that, Father, that as that word is proclaimed, may you bring life to it. And may it please you, Lord, to take those words and to use them for your glory. So undertake for us, Lord. We pray these things in the Savior's wonderful name. Amen. Well, I do count it a great joy and a privilege to be here today in Brookside. And again, thanks to James for his kind words of welcome this morning. And I deeply appreciate and all the help and the support that your minister has been to me, and indeed for the wonderful partnership in the gospel that there is between the three Presbyterian churches here in this little village. And as you reflect back on 2016, I trust that you can thank God for all that he has helped you with. Surely God has again proved himself as a never faithful friend. He's proved himself as the one who sticks closer even than an earthly brother. Indeed, no doubt, both individually and corporately, surely there have been those times of blessing during 2016. And loud and clear, we ought to say to God be the glory, great things he has done. And as you think back over the past year, no doubt that there will be those special memories, things that as even as time goes on, you'll always think back, well, it was 2016 that this happened or that has happened. But as a new year has been ushered in, we will be wise if we realize that in 2017, we will all need God's help. If we are to try to sort things out on our own strength, we will surely fail. As a congregation of God's people, no doubt there will be challenges in the year ahead for you in Brookside. Because I'm part of the Presbytery Commission, I know that this year you're seeking to ordain new elders. And that's a very important decision. It's a very life-changing event within any congregation. William will be preaching about the eldership. But again, can I say to you this morning that as a congregation, you need to be praying. You need to be praying so that the Lord will clearly lead and guide to the men of his choice to be ordained as elders within this congregation. As a visiting minister, I don't know all the challenges which will face this congregation during 2017. But I do know that every congregation needs to have a vision for the future. Indeed, we were singing earlier, "Be thou my vision," and we need that vision of God. Yes, it's, of course, at times it's good to look back, it's good and important to remember the past, but more importantly, with God's help, you must look to the future. You must realize that he is the one who can help us with all that lies before. It's so easy to become complacent. It's so easy to be filled with apathy. But I trust as a congregation, you will be stirred afresh to be a people of service and outreach. Let me remind you, as I often remind the people in Trinity, that right on our doorstep, there is a mission field. There are people within this community who have no church connection. There are people in this community who have no time for the things of God. And so with God's help, the challenge is that we must continue to reach out to others. Perhaps one of the biggest challenges for us across the road in Trinity is the age profile in our congregation. And James was alluding to that even earlier in the service. How this past year we had 18 deaths. I think you said here in Brookside you had 13. And sadly we're not seeing those number of families coming in, those new number of families coming in to replace that. And the age profile of our congregation is rising. And what's true in Trinity is most likely true here in Brookside and for many of our congregations. We need to encourage our younger people to be part of the life and witness of the church. Our young people face so much pressure. And young people are facing things that I never faced as a teenager. They're facing those on a daily basis in school. They're facing those as they try to live out a Christian life, even within this community. And we need to encourage our young people so that they enjoy coming to church. And I believe that if we learn to do that, then our congregations will grow stronger in 2017. Yes, it's a big challenge, but it's one that must be faced. Perhaps as you think about that challenge, your immediate response is, but sure, we have tried different things in the past, and none of them have worked. Or maybe you would even be stronger as you think that through, and you think, well, look, it'll just never happen. So how do we face the challenges that will soon be in front of us? What do? Should we set up a few subcommittees to look at each of those challenges? We're good at that in the Presbyterian Church. We set up all these things and we talk it all through. Should we work out a plan or a timetable to work towards? Of course, every congregation has a mission plan. Or should we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, it's done me my day, and the next generation can worry about it? Well, I believe Isaiah 62, those words that we read earlier, in particular verses 6 and 7, give us the answer as to how we ought to face the challenges that lie before us. And firstly, within those verses, there's the call to perseverance. The call to perseverance. The key to God's work is prayer. And we are called to be tireless intercessors. We are to persevere. We are to stick at it. Listen carefully to the first part of verse 6, where we read, I have posted watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They will never be silent day or night. God's people are called to be watchmen. In the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3, we read of the duty of the watchman. We read, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. And so as watchmen, we are to keep our eyes peeled for what God is doing in our families, in our church, in our community, in our world, and we are to pray about those situations. But ultimately, as watchmen, we are called to warn people of their need of a Savior. I know I'm only a visiting preacher today, but I want to tell you what I believe Brookside Church needs. I believe it needs more people to be tireless intercessors. I'm not talking about a short prayer before you climb into bed, but prayer that really gets to the heart of the living God. In Genesis 32, we read of that old patriarch Jacob. We read how he wrestled with God. God said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have overcome." This congregation needs more intercessors. I didn't know what James was going to say in his opening words, and how he then talked about the ladies' prayer meeting, how he talked about the men's prayer meeting. And what he has said this morning could be replicated in Trinity. Because so often, when it comes to prayer, then people have other things to do and find life is too busy. The reality within every congregation is that at times there are struggles of one kind or another. But we're not called to wrestle and struggle with one another, but rather we're most definitely called to love one another. However, we are called to wrestle with God and secure a blessing. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus compared prayer to a man pounding on his neighbor's door late at night. And Jesus said, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs." Persistence, pressing on with it, tireless intercessors. In Luke 18, we read of the parable of the persistent widow. She never gave up, and we should never give up in bringing our requests to our wonderful and mighty God. Here in Isaiah 62, the prophet uses language that I would not dare to use. In verse 7, he says, "We are to give God no rest until a revived church astonishes the world." You ever think about that? We are to give God no rest. We are to keep on persisting. We are to keep on praying. We are to keep on holding out and holding on to him. Jonathan Edwards, one of the Puritan writers, once penned a famous appeal to the Christians of his day to unite in prayer for revival. And at the end of his appeal, he wrote these striking words. He said, "It's very apparent from the Word of God that he often tries the faith and the patience of his people when they're crying to him for some great and important mercy by withholding the mercy sought for a season. And not only so, but at first he may cause an increase of dark appearances. And yet he, without fail, at last prospers those who continually, urgently in prayer, with all perseverance." Look at that last sentence again. "And yet he, without fail," this is the God that we're holding on to, "at last prospers those who continue urgently in prayer, with all perseverance." Yes, as you reflect on 2016, I do trust that you can rejoice, for the Lord has been with you and how he has blessed you. Indeed, as you look back over many years, you can rejoice in the long, rich heritage that Brookside Church has. But oh, let me encourage you today not to be focused on the past, but rather desire to see great things being done in your day and generation. And that will only happen when you acknowledge your need of God and you are indeed united in the place of prayer. Don't be discouraged. Oh, that's the work of the enemy. He wants to sow discouragement among God's people. Don't give up. And again, the enemy will come and will say to you, what are you doing? You're wasting your time going out there on a Friday night to the BB or whatever night it is it GB? Or you're wasting your time going to all those things. Why bother? But yet God is coming again and saying, look, keep on going. Keep on persevering and have that full confidence in me. Good to remind ourselves today that our God is still on the throne. He is in control. And so the call to my heart and the call to your heart is a call to persevere and to persevere in prayer. Listen carefully to this quote from the 24/7 prayer movement. They said, we need to persevere in prayer because prayer involves a battle, a fight. Two parties, God and Satan, are hostile to each other. The third party consists of God's chosen and redeemed people. And it is a battle. And again, we were singing about that earlier, how we need to put on that battle shield. We need to stand firm in the things of God. Oh, I remind you today that the ministry of prayer cannot be underestimated. And no congregation will ever flourish if there's a lack of prayer among God's people. Some of the older members in Trinity who can no longer get out to public worship often say to me, well, I can't do anything, but I can pray. And praying isn't just a little tag on. Praying is absolutely vital. And so I want to stir you as a congregation this morning, and I want to remind you how vital that is. And maybe you've got to that stage in life where physical involvement is no longer possible. I want to encourage you today to be a prayer warrior for this congregation. Don't be discouraged. Don't be saying, well, there's nothing I can do. We need people who will faithfully pray. And as this year unfolds, the Kirk Session and Committee, they will need God's help. They will need God's wisdom. And all those plans need to be bathed in prayer. And so let me urge you today to be a people who will really persevere in the place of prayer. So we have noted the call to persevere. But secondly, there's the call to real commitment. Verse 6 says, you who call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest. Give yourselves no rest. Our prayers are effective because we call on the name of the Lord. It's only God who can bring about change, and that's why we need to soak all the church's activities in prayer. And unashamedly, I tell the people in Trinity that I need their prayers. Today, as I stand in this pulpit, I say to you, your minister, William, needs your prayers. He needs your support. Oh, we cannot and we dare not try to do God's work on our own strengths and merits. It all needs to be soaked in prayer. And I believe if God's people here in Brookside congregation began to specifically pray, then you would know more of God's blessing in 2017. So let me ask you this morning, are you really committed to prayer? I tell you, it's hard work, because it involves discipline. Give yourself no rest, is what Isaiah said. And yet perhaps from the minister down today, there are times when we're slack when it comes to our prayer life. But I believe the beginning of a new year is a good time for us to take stock of what's going on in our own individual lives. It's a good time to ask ourselves, are we really growing in the things of God? Indeed, as you think back over the past year, have you grown in the things of God? We should never stop growing in our desire to be more like the Lord Jesus. But specifically, let me hone in this morning and let me ask you, but what about your prayer life? Is it getting better? Is it a real struggle? Would it help if you met with someone else to pray? I've been really encouraged in Trinity to see a number of little prayer triplets springing up. People praying together. Maybe you're saying, what's a prayer triplet? Well, the name almost gives it away, doesn't it? It's where at least three people meet together for prayer. Well, we're good at meeting for all sorts of things. We're good at meeting and talking about all sorts of things, even about the church. But may you have that desire of having that meeting with others to pray. Well, it's almost 25 years since I was a student at Belfast Bible College. And yet the greatest thing that happened during that time was that I developed a prayer partner. Some of you will know that prayer partner very well, because of course he was from this village, Adrian Adger. And today, Adrian and I, we still seek to meet together and pray together. Well, it's hard work because our lives have changed somewhat. We're even further apart now, geographically. But here's the thing, I can tell Adrian absolutely anything. And I know that the only thing he'll do with that information is to pray about it. If you haven't got someone like that in your life, then find someone for this year. Find someone that you can pray with, someone that you can share your heart with, so that they're not going to listen to you and take it down the road somewhere else, or they're going to condemn you, but someone who will pray with you and for you. And I tell you, there's tremendous strength when you have someone like that in your life. Otto Christian Halsby was a Norwegian theologian who resisted the Germans during World War II, and he suffered for it in a concentration camp. And he was someone who understood what it means to pray and to pray and to persist in prayer until God answered prayer. And he described it like this. He said, prayer is like mining. Prayer is like boring deep holes into the rock of human hearts. It's hard work. It tries our patience. We can't see results. But in God's time, he places the dynamite, lights the fuse, and the rocks crumble. Maybe you've prayed for situations. Maybe you've prayed for individuals for many years. And maybe you feel discouraged. As 2017 has dawned, perhaps it seems that the problems are just the same, or even worse. Let's remember that God is at work. He is at work even when we cannot see the results. And so let us be patient, and let us learn to leave the timing to him. Well, maybe I'm speaking this morning to a parent. Maybe your heart's broken because of a young one who seems to have gone off the rails, who once showed great potential, but that's not how it is today. And you've been praying away, and you've been praying away, and there's nothing happening. Listen, don't give up. The Lord knows all about that, and he knows all about your broken heart, and he knows all about your struggles. Maybe it's someone and you've been praying for a brother, a sister, a mum, a dad, and you've been praying for years, and there's no change in their heart, and as the years go on, you're more and more concerned, and are they ever going to get right with God? And it's good to be anxious. It's good to be concerned. But listen, don't become weary and downhearted. Leave it with the Lord. And in his time, we'll see even that dynamite taking place, those broken and hardened hearts crumbling. But as I think about the real, that call to real commitment, so I want to challenge those in this gathering who have never put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you've attended this church for years. You're faithful. You're loyal. However, the sad reality is that you've never made that real commitment to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. As we were saying to the children, there's never been that celebration over your life. There's never been that moment when you've sought Jesus Christ in a personal way. Right now, on this first Sunday of 2017, the Lord speaks to you and he calls you to turn away from your sin, to put your trust not in a congregation, not in a denomination, but to put your trust in him. In Romans 10 and 13, we read, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, what a tremendous promise found in the scriptures. And the greatest thing that you could do is to make that call and thus make a real commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. As the watchman over this pulpit today, it's my duty to warn you of the impending danger that lies ahead. I need to warn you today that if you die without trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you will never be with him in that glorious place that he has prepared. You will never be with him in heaven. If you die without trusting Jesus as your Savior, the scriptures tell us that you will face the wrath and the judgment of a holy God, that you will end up in that terrible, awful place called hell for all eternity. Men and women, young people today, I tell you that hell is a real place. Today I urge you to flee from the wrath that is to come. You see, it doesn't matter if you never miss a Sunday at church. It doesn't matter how much money you put in your church envelopes. It doesn't matter if you're a good and upright person. It doesn't matter if you're known as someone who lives a moral life. But what does matter at the end of life's journey is what you've done with Jesus. Well, maybe you've thought about this for years. Maybe at times you've been close to wanting to speak to the minister, to speak to someone. You've thought about these things. It's been on your mind. And here's another year that God has graciously allowed you to see being dawned. But will you see the end of this year? None of us can say yes to that one. Because none of us are sure of tomorrow. And so in love, I urge you to seek the Lord while he may be found. And to be saved from the awfulness of hell. On this first Sunday of 2017, I want you to listen carefully to two verses from the book of Revelation. Revelation 14 and verse 11, where we read, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. And then Revelation 20 and verse 15, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Oh, thank God for many in this meeting house who have made that call, who have made that commitment to follow Jesus Christ as their Savior. The truth is, it will not always be easy. In fact, it's so often the opposite. It's not the easy option to trust in Jesus. But I tell you this, there's joy in knowing Jesus Christ in a personal way. There's joy, there's peace within. And that's what God wants for everyone in Brookside. And it would be my prayer that you might know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior this Friday. In 2017, I have no doubt that on a personal, indeed on a corporate level, we will all face challenges. Some we may know about, and others are still a mystery to us. However, whatever challenges lie ahead of us, let's remember to face those challenges in the light of Isaiah 62. Let's remember that prayer is the work. Let's resolve that in this year we will be a band of God's people who will learn to persevere in prayer. We will stick at it even when the way is tough, that we'll show real commitment to the kingdom of God. Oh, 2017 could be the greatest, could be the brightest year of ministry within Brookside Church if we heed the message of Isaiah 62. May it be so for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you for your presence among us, and we thank you for help given. And we pray that your word indeed would stir our hearts. Forgive us, Lord, when we have been slothful, when we have been at ease in Zion, when we have been even careless about our Christian living. And we pray that you would come, that you would help us to indeed persevere in the year that lies ahead. And particularly as we've been thinking this morning, for those who would know and love you, Lord, would you help us to really want to persevere in the place of prayer. Forgive us when we at times want to try to do this work on our own strength. Forgive us, Lord, when we can be so busy, even within the life and the witness of the church, that we haven't time to meet in prayer. Father, would you help us today to rectify that? Help us today to realize the importance of prayer, and help us again to get back to the place of meeting with you. And then, Lord, we would pray that you would come and that you would stir the hearts of those who are still without you. Our hearts are heavy, Lord, for those who are still on that broad road leading to hell. But would you graciously speak to them and draw them to yourself, even this very morning? Would you help them to see your amazing love for them? That even now they would seek and find you as their Savior. So, Lord, we say thank you for your goodness to us. We pray that you would write these things upon our hearts, for we ask it for Christ's sake alone. Amen.